listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. We got the desk boys with you today. We've got an entire show on our desk setup. Ours has changed a little bit here and there, and there's nothing I love more than talking about hardware and setups and mice and keyboards and desks and rollerblade wheels, all that good stuff. So we're gonna go through our setups, both as coders as well as video and tutorial producers, and go through all the gear that we use and why we use it. We are sponsored by three awesome companies today. First one is Sanity Structured Content CMS. Second one is LogRocket JavaScript Session Replay. And third one is Hasura Instant GraphQL API for your data. We'll talk about all of them partway through the episode. How are you doing today, Scott?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I just got my course out yesterday on Cypress, so that feels good. It always feels good to wake up the next morning after you get a course out, because for me, I do it every month. So I'm like, yes, okay, some breathing room. And this next course I have planned, I already have it completely planned and scripted and ready to go. So I'm going to knock it out very early this month and then just have a ton of time for planning and coding and working on the Level Up platform, which, man, I am just so excited about where the Level Up tutorials coding platform is right now. Like, the code base feels so nice to work in. So I'm just feeling good. How are you doing?
It's good. Good. I'm doing great. We are just about to release my new Advanced React and GraphQL re-record. That's been like over a year in the making. This thing has had so many moving parts to it because it's such a big course. There's been so many moving parts that I've needed to just stop and wait for this thing to come out. And it's finally ready to go live. So I'm pretty stoked to get that thing out.
Cool. Yeah, I'm stoked for you. There's so many updates in that world.
Yeah, I know. It's for the better though, man. I was just like looking at it versus when I first recorded it. I was like, man, this whole GraphQL React ecosystem has gotten like 1,000 times better since I first recorded it. I'm so happy about it.
Yeah. Have you dove into code gen at all? I know. Sorry, we're getting off topic here.
No, it's a coding show. Code gen. What is code gen?
Oh, GraphQL code gen. Oh boy. I might have just added some videos to your series here. GraphQL CodeGen will take your GraphQL schema, even just by looking at it from a URL or by giving it its .graphql files, and it will spit out every single React hook for your entire site. And then you just import them as use the query's name, and then you don't have to write any more React hooks. I haven't written a single React hook for our Apollo client in a long time because they're all generated for us automatically. It's very nice. It's very cool.
But do you still have to write the like queries and everything?
We write the query schema and it generates a typed hook and it generates all of the types for the resolvers in the API as well.
Oh yeah. All of that is what Keystone gives for you. So we don't have to write any of that either. It just does that. And also it gives you all the TypeScript types as well, which is so handy because it's all just autocomplete super nicely.
Well, you can use it just to get you those hooks. It's pretty dope.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into the gear. We're going to start with the desk and we'll go through all the different things and we're going to go back and forth and say what we got and explain why we have it. So what is your desk?
My desk is an IKEA Karlby countertop. It's an Karlby is the one that there is. I got the dark brown. It looks kind of like butcher block, but it's really just a veneer on what I would assume is like a big particle board piece. It looks really nice. It looks much fancier than it is. It was really cheap for what it is, and it's huge. I think mine's like 72 inches wide. It's just like, it takes up almost my entire office. So I bought this giant slab of countertop, which was, like I said, way, way cheaper and way nicer than it should be. And then I got some Jarvis standing desk legs, which have the automated buttons. So it has the buttons where you can push to go up and down, but it also has the presets because I got to have my presets. I got four presets, one for sitting, one for standing, one for horse stance, and one for a deep lunge. I could be in a lunge while I'm at my desk.
I use a IKEA countertop as well. I've had this probably for 10 years now, and it's an 8-foot IKEA butcher block countertop. It's solid all the way through.
Oh, so you went fancy.
Yeah, well, they didn't. I'm just looking on the website, and I don't see this on their website anymore on IKEA.
Oh, so maybe IKEA got less fancy.
Yeah, it's all veneer on their website right now.
Yeah, that's what mine is, yeah.
I wonder if just because of the pandemic, the price of wood has just skyrocketed, so maybe they temporarily don't have them. But anyways, mine's super heavy. I like that because I hate when my desk wiggles and jiggles on it, so this is really good. I have it on 4 IKEA legs. I bought mine a long time ago, so I think the legs are a little bit more cheap nowadays. Mine are super heavy ones. And then it's 8 foot. We initially bought it from my wife and I to work on it together. So you could have 2 stations.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But it was a little bit too close together for 8 foot. and I also just don't, my wife doesn't like sitting beside me when we work. So I have the entire thing to myself now. And it's awesome because I have like my entire setup. It takes maybe 5 feet. And then the rest of it I have for just either throwing junk on or what I like to think is I put all my like screwdrivers and soldering iron and all of the like actual like physical project stuff goes on there as well. And having a space for that is really nice to, because I can also just like, I have a roller chair and I can just roll over to it. And I can also, if I just have like a laptop, like if I've got a Windows laptop as well. And sometimes I just put that there. And if I need to roll over to it, I can.
For me, I'm really, it's funny because like my desk, the status of, there's a couple things in my life you can tell how far along I am in my flow of recording a tutorial series. So for those of you who don't know, I record a tutorial series every month, okay? And just been, I've been doing it now for many years, 4 years at least. And and the status of my desk and the status of my beard are directly correlated with how in the weeds I am. My beard is looking good right now because I'm done. And like I finished that course, I just shave it all off. And I clear off my desk and get myself back to day one. And then by the 30th or the 28th rolls around, my desk is just piled high with papers. And you know, a lot of people have an expired batteries drawer or something. Or like a little baggie of expired batteries that they do before they recycle them.
Yeah.
My expired batteries are just sitting freeform all over my desk right now. I probably have like 40 AA batteries just hanging out here. Just
holy.
Like, why? Why are they here? How did they get here? Why? Well, like, I don't know, but I'm not going to figure it out until today. Today is going to be my day to clean this desk off.
Beautiful. I should also say I have a little cottage office at our cottage. And up there, my setup is almost exactly the same. And that's intentional so that I can just move from one place to another without it disrupting my flow or audio or anything like that. I got this maple slab on Marketplace. And it's super heavy as well. It's a live edge maple slab and it has hairpin legs on it. And that thing has been really nice as well. The only thing I don't like about it is the live edge doesn't go straight up against the wall because it's irregular.
Oh, a live edge. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to put like a little piece of foam behind it so that it wouldn't wobble when I'm typing on it.
Where'd you get them legs from?
The legs came with the desk.
Oh, okay. So it's like,
The guy I bought it from had it made by like a local woodworker, but you can buy those hairpin legs on Amazon. I've bought them previously for other projects and they were super easy. You just screw them right in. And then if you ever find like a nice piece of wood somewhere, you can just buy these hairpin legs and it looks sick. It's easy to put on.
Just toss some legs on that boy. The Jarvis legs were like that too. I mean, the standing desk ones, it was really like 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe like 8 screws total. Really not a big deal. And I was surprised people would be like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Oh yeah. The desks that they have at Jarvis or whoever does any sort of standing desks are going to be marked up and you can get this countertop for way cheaper and it's going to be bigger, heftier, cooler looking, more Instagrammy.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into chair. Now this is going to be fun for me because I'm sitting in a brand new chair. It is eggplant colored. And it's eggplant purple, and it's actually like a really deep, it's more, almost like a plum a little bit more, less purpley, more like dark. And then the back is gray. I got a steel case gesture too. I just got it. Those of you who are listening to the show for a long time know that I fractured my tailbone like 3 years ago. So like sitting on things are really not good for me. I was sitting in a Herman Miller Aeron chair with the mesh bottom for my entire dev career. I bought it on refurbished for like $200. It was an awesome chair. I mean, it's like a very expensive chair I bought for like $200 refurbished. And it's like
wicked deal.
Wicked deal. And it was in perfect shape. And I've had it forever. But I did some Googling because that chair in particular is the least comfortable chair for my tailbone injury. It was never bad before I had my injury. Afterwards, I can't sit in it. So I was like, okay, this is something I sit in every day. I'm going to have to invest. So I Googled about fractured tailbone chairs. And this article popped up and it was like, get the Steelcase Gesture. It's the best one for this type of comfort. Okay, perfect. And they said, here are the list of chairs to not buy. Number one, Herman Miller Aeron chair with mesh bottom. And the caption says, you're better off sitting on a rock. Not because the chair is bad, but because of how the mesh goes up like and pushes against your tailbone. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So I got to get rid of this thing. So I just got this new chair. And the coolest thing about it is the arms move wherever you want them. They have these little buttons. And the arms can go up, down, whatever. And it allows me to actually get a lot closer to my desk than I could with the Herman Miller. My arms would always get in the way. And then I'd have to move my desk up or down. And then you're suffering on ergonomics there. So this one, I can keep my arms wherever. And my arms actually get to rest on something now. It's really neat. And the chair overall is great. It's fantastic. Looks really super modern. And it's purple and gray. It really matches my brand's colors. Love it.
It looks like a sick one. I have the polished aluminum Herman Miller Aeron, the one that Scott can't use. I love it. I have the same one at the cottage as well. I bought a broken one and I found out that it's very easy to go to a Herman Miller dealer and order parts that are very reasonable. So I think I bought it for like 150 Canadian. I put like $100 into it and then like up and running. The polished aluminum Aeron is really, really nice. I run the arms all the way down and then I just like scooch myself under the desk and then my arms go 100% on the desk. So I could probably even take the arms off of it because I literally never use them unless I'm like turning and talking to somebody or just like leaning back and thinking.
This has been really good because my elbows can be on the armrest and it like props my arms up to like perfect height, like almost like ergonomic. Yeah. You know, the one I had before, the refurbished one, it was basically the cheapest model. So like the arms didn't even go up or down. They were just fixed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got mesh bottom, mesh back.
Yeah, mesh everything with the the polished aluminum one has their new and it's a couple of years old, but they have this new like lumbar support, which is really, nice. I like it better than the lumbar piece of foam that the older ones have, but they're both really, really nice.
Mine doesn't have any lumbar support.
Yeah. The Herman Miller Aeron, either people love it and they're absolutely crazy about it, or people hate it, or people are like, I sat in one once at my friend's house and I didn't get it. And it's because like you have to really tweak it to your body and adjust all the little knobs. Like you can't just go sit in somebody's and be like, oh, this is nice. You have to like really give it a go.
That's what I've been doing. I've been doing that for the past 10 years.
Just changing it up. And then on it, I run rollerblade wheels on mine. And that was only about like 6-8 months ago, I moved over to rollerblade wheels. And it's amazing because if you want to move around,
you just do it.
Yeah, you just do it. And it's like, I feel like it's more comfortable chair because the chair has these little micro movements as you shift your weight around. And you don't roll around. A lot of people are like, isn't that like really quick? And doesn't it like roll away from you? And if you are coding on a hill, it's going to roll away from you.
You're coding in a half pipe. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I used to work at a company when I was in school. I took like an old exploded ball that was like rubber and I came and I taped it to the things because I was sitting on an Aeron, but we were like in this like hipster loft. And it was so old that I was actually sitting on an angle and I would just like constantly be rolling away.
Oh, that's
funny.
And
there's just something about like trying to constantly like just adjust how you're sitting. It's awful. But the rollerblade wheels, I would say the best thing that came out of 2020 was putting those on the chair. Are you putting them on your new one?
This is actually not a joke. Before I sat in it, I put them on. I brought it in the house. I rolled it into my office. I flipped it over. I put the rollerblade wheels on and then I tried it. That's how much of a priority they are in my life. It was not going to happen without them.
Man, it's hilarious. Like the rollerblade wheels is a movement. Like I probably once a day, somebody sends me a photo of them running rollerblades on their chair. I couldn't believe it. We should say right now, if you have an IKEA chair, get the 10 millimeter ones. Otherwise, get the 11 millimeter ones. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, be careful about that. You're also going to be careful about your code. Otherwise, you're going to run into errors and exceptions. And you know what? You're going to need a service for that. And a good service for that is LogRocket. Now, LogRocket is one of our sponsors today. They allow you to see how your errors and exceptions happen in your website in a visual interface. That's right. You actually get to see them happen. Your user was able to produce a pineapple out of the logo in your website. I don't know how they did that, but they clicked on it. And now you get to see that happen because you get a scrubbable video replay and network requests and all sorts of really neat information, the types of stuff that you would need to know when debugging your application. So you're going to head over to logrocket.com/syntax, sign up today, get 14 days for free, give it a try. This is one of those visual tools that really, really, really will take your debugging to the next level because it turns out debugging things is way easier when you can see the problem happening. I think that's a fact. So thanks so much to LogRocket for sponsoring.
All right, let's get into displays. What are you running right now? 38 inches?
Yeah, 38 inches, man. That actually could probably be sampled there. Okay, 38 inches. I run an LG curved ultra wide. It's 38 inches and it's like right here on the side. So it's my secondary desktop. I don't use that as my main monitor.
Oh, really?
My main monitor, I just use the MacBook Pro. So I use my MacBook Pro's 15-inch, and it sits directly in front of me on a 12 South stand. The reason being is that my camera that does my webcam can sit directly above that display, but it wouldn't necessarily work as well above the ultra wide. Not to mention, I actually record my tutorials on the MacBook Pro screen because the pixel density is higher and it's closer to 16:9. It's a little bit easier for me to get it exactly perfect. Where on the ultra wide, what I do is I just fill it with my example code, the documentation, my notes, and that's all the stuff I need. I can just move the ultra wide wherever I want. And I have that on a Vivo mount, and it's like one of those pneumatic spring ones. Wherever you move it, it goes. It's not like one of those crappy ones, but it's very cheap. So I'll post a link to it on Amazon. They're really, really super cheap for what they are. And so I have that, and then I have the same one for my microphone stand just right there and there. So I rock that, and then just yesterday, I got a package in the mail from a company. This was sent to me, so.
Is this SponCon?
What does that mean?
Sponsored content.
Oh yeah, this is SponCon. No, they're not paying for my opinions on this because I don't know if I have strong opinions on the air because I just got it, although it is really cool. It's this Vicelles monitor. It's a 15-inch monitor. It's basically an external monitor that's the same size as your MacBook Pro screen that is like paper thin and is only powered in it by one cable. So I just plug it USB-C in to my computer. That's it. And it just turns on. And the thing's in like a folio case. So it like flips back like an iPad. And so it's just resting here next to my computer. I have some shots of it on Instagram. You should check it out at S. Talinsky on Instagram. I have some photos of it. But it's really, really interesting. You know what? It has a touchscreen features as well, but those don't exist in Mac, really. So at least for this one, there's a third-party drivers that somebody made that I installed yesterday, but have not had a chance to restart my computer yet. That's what it's waiting on before I know if it worked. So that'd be kind of cool if this thing had touchscreen. You could just have a browser, your email open on it. Right now I have my terminal on it. So I have all of my console windows over here. And so I can see the status of my applications right here. I could keep my browser in the main one and then any sort of code on the ultra wide, because you could get like four or five panels of code on that ultra wide. That's going to be the dream. I'm really excited to test this thing out in like a normal workflow.
That's wicked. I'm running as my main display a 32-inch 4K. It's LG. I'll put the links. I'm not going to rattle off the name of it.
The LG XQMD400. Yeah.
It's awesome. I love it so much because I previously ran the 28-inch as my main 4K, and moving up to 32 is great because it's physically bigger, meaning that you can run a smaller resolution. I kind of go back between like 3000 by 1692 and 2560 by 1440. I kind of go in between. It's almost a little bit too small. I kind of wish there was like a 35 inch so that I could run that smaller resolution. But I love it. It's just like, at first I was like, hokey doodle, this thing is massive. Like, I have no idea if I'm going to be able to get used to like having a TV in front of me all day, but I got used to it. And I think this is one of the best monitors you can probably buy for coding because of there's just so much space, so much room for activities.
So much.
So it's like super crisp and clear. To my right, I run my Dell 28-inch 4K. It is an Ultra HD. That's probably the best monitor clarity I've ever seen. Like the LG one is good, and I can't really tell the difference now that I've been working on it. But when I switched to it, I was like, oh man, that Dell one is so good. And the 32 inch version of the Dell one that I got was like $1,200 or something like that. Like the colors and the clarity was just so good on it. So I really like that. I run it in portrait mode.
Interesting.
Just because like I can't run these both of these monitors. Like I always want one big one straight in front of me, and then I want one off to the side. And for that, I put my terminal on it, and I put my chat on it and my music and sort of just everything, all that little stuff. And then when I'm recording, I also have all my notes and example code to the right of me. Mm-hmm. And the 28 inch in portrait mode is like really tall, like it literally resting on my desk, and it goes all the way up past the 32 inch one. So there's probably the lower third of the screen is not used for anything just because it's way too tall. That's kind of wasted space, but I had it and I put it on there and I'm really happy with the width of it. And I do every now and then need it when I'm doing my notes and whatnot, but I really like that. And then to my left of me, I run my MacBook Pro just on a Rain M stand. And for that, I put chat and other stuff on that as well. So lots and lots of room for coding and running the different stuff that I need. Even like when I'm recording this podcast right now, like my audio monitor and the recording stuff, all that goes on a side monitor so that I have room for a video of Scott, the show notes, and a browser so I can see all three things at once.
I have like 4 or 5 videos of Wes open, some YouTube stuff of Wes, and that way I can have a lot of videos of Wes in front of me. No, it's funny because while we talk, I always feel like very funny because like right now, if Wes was looking at the webcam, it would look like I'm looking far to my side. And that's because I've moved the Zoom window all the way over to the furthest possible spot of my ultra wide, but I'll move it like several times over the course while we're recording an episode because I like can't pick what I want. I get hyperactive about what I want to look at. So I'm like, oh, I'll just move Wes over here. And then I'll be like, actually, no, I want the Notion right here. And then I swap things around like 8 or 9 times.
That's one problem I have is that my camera is a little bit higher than I would like it. I would like it like Scott has it, like eye level.
Mine's at eye level, yeah.
And I just can't make it work because I either would have to put the camera off and then I would not be looking at it. That's the worst when you're talking to somebody and you're not looking at the camera. Mm-hmm. I'm okay, happy with it. I had to lower the display just a little bit, but it didn't hurt my neck or anything like that. So no sweat.
Yeah, I like having mine right above or right in front. But yeah, it would be nice to use this ultra wide a little more.
That's a good setup. I've never heard anybody using an ultra wide as their secondary monitor. That's a good setup.
It's fantastic. Yeah. The cool thing, I mean, you can put it wherever you want. So I can adjust the setup. This Vivo arm is pretty crazy good. Headphones. You have on here for headphones. I use these. Let me even take them off for a second. I have these headphones I've had for a really long time. They're pretty expensive when I got them. They're the Ultrasone. They're these Ultrasone headphones. They're studio headphones. I have had them for a very long time and I like them very much. I have tried many other headphones in my time and they have such a good surround image that I like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are nice headphones, but these things are so good.
Yeah, I have a pair of Audio Technica like monitors and I never use them. They're in my on the shelf right now just because I hate having it on. So I just run the Bose QC35s all the time. And it's not an issue with editing. There's like a 200 millisecond delay because it's Bluetooth. And if that's really an issue, then I just run them wired. You just plug in the cable and whatnot. But I love them. They're super comfortable. I've had them for probably 5 years. I run them for 8 hours a day and the battery on them is still, I still get like 2 days worth of battery out of them. So I'm preparing myself to replace the battery on them, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I can't get over the latency and I do a lot of editing. So like, woof, I can't do the editing with the latency. Although you said you wired them. I don't even know where my cord is. I guess I would have to find one.
Yeah, the latency is not I don't know why or not, but the latency is not an issue for me.
I'm hypersensitive to it.
Yeah, maybe I don't even notice it, but I also edit based on waveform. So I visually see where the like audio or the ums or the ahs are.
Same here, yeah.
I also have a NFL broadcaster mic where
it's Brittany mic.
Yeah, but it has like a really nice microphone on the headphones. Mm. And I've never got those to sound as good as my main microphone here. because I would love to just like get rid of this big thing and just be able to move around a little bit more when I'm recording, but I haven't got it to sound good enough yet. I need to, after COVID, I'm going to bring in someone who knows what they're doing and say, make this sound good.
Help me. Let's go to keyboard and mouse. Mouse, I use the Magic Trackpad. I love it. I have it on my left side, which apparently I didn't know was a weird thing. People are like, wait, are you left-handed? Yeah, I use this thing on my left hand. I've always done it that way, no matter what. Left. I didn't realize it was a lefty thing. I thought everybody used the trackpad with their left hand. So that's where mine's cooking over here. I just greatly prefer the trackpad to the mouse. You got gesture support. The Mac one's really nice. It takes like very little effort. And I have had repetitive stress injuries in the past. And using the external one, like using the external one has never been a problem for me with repetitive stress injuries. Using the laptop one, yeah, maybe sometimes. But this has been really good for me for a long time. And I just got a new keyboard. I'm using the Keychron K3 with an optical switches. So it's a mechanical keyboard without a clicky switch, which means that it's really nice for recording. In the past, I've been using the Keychron K1, I think, and that one actually had a mechanical switch, which was less clicky than my Code keyboard, which like Browns, which are very clicky. And so I've been getting quieter and quieter with my clickies in the recording. And this latest iteration, I'm still getting used to typing this thing, but this keyboard is fantastic. It's set up for like Mac. It's the same size as the MacBook Pro keyboard on the laptop. So that means I can move really quickly from the MacBook Pro to this thing. And the typing experience feels just about the same. I mean, the key travels more, but they're really flat, low profile keys like the MacBook
Pro. Same kind of feel.
And as bad as the longevity of the butterfly keys were, I still really like the way that little flat key feels for some reason. I've never been a big fan of those like really narrow, tall keys that I have on my Code keyboard. So this thing has been doing really good for me, and it has a lot of RGB goodness. That means it's gonna photograph really well for the Instagram stories. I just like this keyboard a lot. It's very good, and it's Mac focused, so it has all the Mac keys that you could possibly want. It's actually like a Mac compatible and Mac first.
That's awesome. I use the Apple extended keyboard in space gray. People always ask me like, what is that? I'm like, it's literally just like the normie Apple keyboard. But it has it's extended. So it has the arrow keys are not part of the keyboard part. They're to the right. And I like that because I feel a little bit more relaxed with the wider keyboard rather than trying to tuck in and get on the tiny little thing. Myself, I've never liked a mechanical keyboard, both because I can't record with it. And people are always like, why don't you switch between mechanical and the right? And I can't do that. I don't ever want to switch between a computer or a keyboard or anything when I'm recording, because I just want my recording flow to just be like, turn it on and start doing the thing.
And have it feel like how you normally type, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise you're messing up.
I know. And that's actually been a little bit of a learning experience for me with this keyboard. I did notice my typing, even though it is like different, or it's not that much different. I did notice my typing take a hit, and I had to be much more cognizant of what I was typing.
I also run a Logitech MX2 mouse. I ran the Magic Mouse for probably 10 years, and I switched over to the MX2 about 2 years ago. And I love it. I've mapped the keys to do my audio. So up, down, play. I love the scroll. I turned off all the like feedback, like the clicky scrolling and all that. So it just flies. I kind of want to try a trackpad again now that you've been talking about it.
I love it.
Just because like I'm scared that one day I'm going to get like RSI. Like I had a little flare up of it a couple months ago, but I got rid of it. And you know what I got it from? It was I was saving receipts. And I had to do file, like I had to click so many links and open a new tab. Oh. And after I did that the next day for like a week and a half, my arm was just on fire. And I was like, that's because,
oh my gosh,
like I usually am coding and it's all keyboard based, but this was so much mouse stuff that my arm was on fire after it.
Yeah, no thanks.
So yeah, I really like the fact that you do it with your left hand, because like what a superpower that is to be able to switch hands.
I'm a lefty primarily, but I'm fairly ambidextrous, I would say. Like I throw with my right hand. I don't throw well, but I throw with my right hand. Like I do. I'm like half and half, but primarily left-handed. Laptop, we're both running the 16-inch MacBook Pros right now. So not a whole ton there. Mine's a little bit beefier than yours, but now I'm wishing I would have just saved the money and then gotten the M1 when it came out. What I'm going to do here, Wes, my strategy for future MacBook Pro, I'm going to get the mini cheese grater cube thing that they're coming out with. It's a Mac Pro that's a actual Mac Pro. It's running whatever the next version of the M1 processor is going to be. And it looks like the Mac G4 Cube, apparently. So I'm going to get that. I'm going to have it be my desktop setup. And then, you know what? I'll also probably end up getting, you know, if they have a, I've heard they might be doing a 15-inch MacBook Air. If they did that, I would get a 15-inch MacBook Air and that desktop computer. And I would just figure out the best syncing solution between them. I know that sucks. And it, like syncing software or files between those two systems sounds like it sucks. But I'm actually, I want that. I want that powerhouse. That's what I want.
Yeah. That's the always the trade-off for me is that I don't want two computers. And I don't want to have to think about where are my video files, like for like code. Yeah, obviously yeah. Just use Git, right? But like for me, like I run screencasting as a for a living, right? Mm-hmm. So I need to have my files everywhere and syncing them, and the internet is not very good at the cottage. So if I want to record up there, I need to make sure what I have. So and also like right now during lockdown is a good chunk of my day. I have to go downstairs and watch the kids while my wife is doing stuff. Yep. And I can't bring a desktop down there and keep working. So luckily I have a laptop where I can keep editing or doing whatever I'm doing.
You could lug an iMac around.
Yeah, I'm stoked for the new, the rumors are with the new MacBook Pros is that they're going to have all the ports back, hopefully a USB-A as well, and they're going to be fast as heck. I really, really hope because even, yeah, like even with the juiced out MacBook Pro that I have right now, the export times are, I sometimes really wish I had a desktop just for exporting.
I exported 22 videos last night and they took me, I would say like three hours maybe of solid, just, you know, set it up and let it go. And I was just like, man, this is, your computer's incapacitated for that whole time. It's not like you can use it for anything else. It's like, I feel like this is such a huge burden on me. Of course, you know, I used to render video for literally days in the past. Yeah. So I'm not, you know, render one tiny After Effects thing and it would take an hour.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot better, but still it's really slow. Like what I do is at the end of a day of editing at 5 o'clock, I'll throw on the exports. And then I'll have to like come up sometime at like 8 p.m. and then start the upload because I also have crappy upload speed. And it's just this like thing I have to like babysit of exporting. And then, okay, now it's exported. And now that everything is 4K, it's gotten way worse too.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be like not too bad with the 1080p, but now everything is 4K. It's gotten four times longer for the whole process.
Yeah, it's tough. But you know what's not tough?
What?
Having a backend for your code with Sanity.
Yes, Sanity.io is the structured content CMS for your next app or for your next website or for your company. They build a really, really slick CMS. It's all hosted for you. Although, let me explain how the hosted part works. Is Sanity itself is hosted, the API is hosted, but you, the developer, still get to write regular code to be able to create the inputs and the schemas and the relationships. And if you want to create any custom inputs in their Sanity Studio, you can, because it's your code. You can run it wherever you want. You just have to make a custom React component to be able to do that. So yeah, Sanity is just so awesome because I know I say this a lot, but like from a developer's point of view, it's a really awesome CMS for your project. But then from like a user's point of view, someone that's just going to be using this thing day to day, they've really put in the time into making this a really polished editing experience between everyone. So check it out for your next project, sanity.io/syntax. That's going to get you double the free usage tier that you would normally get on the free plan. Thanks so much to Sanity for sponsoring.
All right, let's get into the next docs.
Yeah.
Now, we both use the same dock, the TS3 Plus. Mine went kaput somehow, and it just stopped working at some point. And luckily, even though it was out of the warranty, I was a little bummed out about this, because at first they were like, we're not going to do anything, it's out of the warranty. And then I was just like, what the heck? It's like 1 week out of warranty, and this thing just stopped working randomly. So they said, oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And then they sent me another one. So I have like the latest version. It's in space gray. So when I first ordered mine, I couldn't get in space gray. So I have the space gray one. It's the latest one. And it's for the most part really nice. I found it doesn't really charge my computer. Like I know they pushed a firmware update to make it charge at the same rate as the new MacBook Pro should. But I found that it still doesn't really charge that great compared to the built-in MacBook Pro charger. I also noticed that like my Ethernet speeds are not like what they should be with it. And this probably because I'm driving a monitor from it and I'm driving my audio from it. Like I'm driving a lot of stuff from it.
Yeah.
And because of that, my Ethernet speeds end up being closer to like, and this is where it's going to sound ridiculous. They end up being like 300 megabits per second rather than 1,000, right? So like here I am complaining.
Because it's a gigabit Ethernet port. Yeah.
Yeah. So here I am complaining about the speeds, but they're still really fast. But I'm paying for faster and I'm wired via Ethernet. So that kind of bugs me. If I really want extra speed, I'll actually take the Satechi USB dongle and I'll plug my Ethernet just into that and I'll get my megabits or gigabit speeds from doing that. So if I move my Ethernet off of the CalDigit, it will give me those proper speeds. CalDigit says it can do the gigabit Ethernet, but I've never gotten those speeds out of it.
Yeah, there's something about doing everything on one port. I've not had any issues because I don't have to worry about having 300 megabits because like even when I like move stuff to my NAS, like I'm limited by the write of the actual hard drive itself and not the network. But yeah, there's something about putting it all over one, like the charging alone. I plugged mine in at 9 a.m. and now it is 1 p.m. That's 4 hours later and I'm at 92% battery. So because I'm driving the entire setup on it, it does definitely charge slower, but it's not an issue because I leave this thing plugged in
all day,
all the time, yeah. All day long, unless you need to go downstairs and you unplug it and you go ahead and use it. And then I got chargers under the couch that you can grab one and plug it in.
Got chargers coming out of everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about my rack. I have an under the desk rack. It's only a 2U rack. It's basically just a normal rack that was actually supposed to be for server rooms. And they would say, it's not even meant to be upside down the way I have it. It's meant to be sideways. So you could have a sideways rack. I don't know why you'd want that, but maybe for saving space in tight closets. And so I got this thing. And I screwed it into the underside of my desk. And I was wondering, like, if this isn't going to be too heavy for these up-down arms that I have for this desk. And it's been totally good. What I did is I put my DBX286 on here, which is our compressor audio unit. And then also I have my A to D audio to digital converter. And then I have my CalDigit. They're all in that rack. And then so you can hide all those cables, nothing on the counter. My USB cable is connected to my monitor arm. You just pull it around, plug it in, bingo, bango. And it's nice being under the rack. The only problem is it puts it at the exact perfect height for a 1 and 2 year old and 3 year old to be like, oh yeah, let me play with all these knobs. Because my kids just obsessively are changing my compressor dials and just reverting my audio setup. So when I'm done at the end of every day of work, I have to bring my desk up to a high spot so that they can't get to it.
That's great. Yeah, so I previously mentioned I'm running the TS3 Plus. That's the dock. I love it. I've got two of them. When they first announced it, that's the one I got. And then I got the newer one, which just had more USB ports because you can never have enough USB ports. Totally. I run everything on it. There's two 4K monitor. I've had 6 webcams running all at the same time through it. 2 hard drives, my microphone input, my Elgato cam link running through it. And it has been rock solid for me. The only thing is that sometimes I have to turn one of my monitors off and on to get it to recognize it when I come back from sleep, but not a huge, huge deal. I've been really happy with the fact that I can just run everything through it and just have a nice single cable. The downside is that the freaking dock is so expensive and the cable to hook it up, like I needed a 6-foot cable. It comes with like a 3-inch cable. You have to have it.
It comes with the world's smallest cable. Like the cable.
Cable for ants.
It is the biggest cable for ants in the entire world. This thing is seriously, if you did like thumb to pinky, it's probably the length of thumb to pinky if you did like the hang 10 sign. Like that's how long this cable is. It is impossible to attach.
I think it's like 1 foot or 2 foot or something like that. Oh my Anyways, God. I bought the 6-foot one and it was like $80 or $90. And then anytime I say that, people are like, well, look at this mono price one I got at the dollar store. And they're special because they have to be able to run like enough power to power the laptop as well as all of your other things.
It's a beefy cable. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just something about the fact that there's chips in both sides of the cable. The whole Thunderbolt and USB-C thing is such a mess. Everything's very expensive. And it's not like CalDigit is charging you a whole bunch. It's just that between the tech that's needed to run these docks and the cables and everything, it's just a very expensive thing, which is kind of a bummer, but I've reached my dream of having a single cable hookup and it all just works.
Yeah, I can't get away with the single cable because I use my, we'll get into this when we talk about the camera. I use my, actually, that might be a good lead into camera. I know you want to talk about your rack.
Hold on, I got more here.
Yeah, let's, we got to talk about your rack still.
All right, my rack, I built a LAC rack, which is two IKEA LAC coffee tables. I took one coffee table and put it together. And then I took the top from another one and put it on the bottom. And these coffee tables are the exact width of a rack mounted thing. And inside the rack, I have my audio compressor, audio equalizer, a rack mounted power strip, and a rack mounted Dream Machine Pro, which you throw a hard drive in. It can run cameras and things like that. And it's so cool. It's on wheels and you can wheel it around. I can't wheel it around because the friggin' cables are so short on everything I own. So it's on wheels, but you can't roll it around because everything will become unplugged.
My dream would be to have a MacBook Pro in a soundproof rack or a sound dampened rack with all of my stuff and then like lock it with a key and then put it in my closet and have like a couple cables to a couple monitors. That's what my buddy who's a sound engineer does. It's like all of his stuff is like nowhere near him so that the audio environment is pristine as possible. And it's so cool.
I saw they're coming up with 100-foot Thunderbolt 3 cable and it was something like $900 or something like that. But yeah, maybe one day. And that's always the dream. But then what happens is it all works and then something breaks and you have to go under the desk and unplug and plug things in and under reboot. And it's never as easy as it seems.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to talk about the camera setup now?
Yes.
So here's an actual issue with my CalDigit 2. You cannot run the monitor and I use my camera, which is a Sony A7 Mark III. It's an insanely good mirrorless Sony camera, like seriously, easily the best camera I've ever touched in my entire life. And I use it as a webcam via the Elgato Cam Link. And I cannot plug that into the CalDigit either, or else it won't produce video. I actually have to use my Satechi dongle to do that. And not only that, I think it's an issue with the MacBook because I have to plug it in on the opposite side of my computer. Yeah, you can't plug it in even in the same side. And that actually kind of stinks because if you got two cables plugged in, I kind of want them both to be on the same side, not to stick out on each side. Like, hey, it is what it is.
Especially because these like Thunderbolt cables are so massive.
Yeah.
Like the part that you plug in. I run a Sony RX Mark III, which is just I literally found it in a basket of my wife's old gear. And it's a little mirrorless camera. I think it's a mirrorless camera.
I don't think it is.
Maybe not. Compact digital camera. No, it's not mirrorless at all. My wife has the Sony A7. I think it's one level under what you have. She has that now and I hooked that up and that looks sick. But I couldn't justify spending that much on a webcam. So I'm just running this old one and it looks good. It was entirely lights based for me for making it look much better than it was.
That's such a big part of it.
I do run the Elgato capture through my dock and it works great. Never had any issues. Yeah, but the only thing is I run it through a powered USB hub because I run hard drives and everything. There's literally not enough ports in there. And also they need power. So I run a Amazon 40 port USB hub or something like that. And it has like a good power supply.
That's interesting.
But the other thing is, I don't think my camera is 4K. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the Cam Link sending 4K or not.
I don't know either.
But it works great. I was really happy because I hate having to plug in multiple things when I dock the thing.
Man, I gotta figure that out. That's gotta be a thing I gotta work on.
Yeah, try a powered hub. And like, also there's like some hubs are not the same. So like get like a good, I have an Amazon Basics one and it's been rock solid.
I have an Anker one here that is really super nice.
Those are great.
Yeah, so I'll give that a try. Microphone, I use a Electro Voice RE20 microphone. It is my pride and joy. I love this thing. It's a classic radio mic. Anytime that any usually it's like sports people or people on ESPN or something have this microphone or podcasters. And anytime it's on TV, I'll always point out, that's my microphone. And he'll be like, yes, I know that's your microphone. I can identify it. And I use the Scarlett 2i2 to get the microphone into the computer. I use a Vivo pneumatic mic arm. So, and then I have a cloud lifter, which is basically a preamp that boosts the signal. It's pretty required for this microphone, not required for most mics, but this mic, it definitely needs that little bit of boost. Otherwise, you're going to be jacking the gain up to crazy amounts of noise. So I use a cloud lifter. It really is super nice. I just got this recently, this Audient Neuro monitor controller. I used to use this little monitor controller made by Samsung that was like a $70 one, and it was really pretty nice. It was like a little miniature mixer that would allow you to control several different outputs, several different inputs, change, turn a subwoofer on or off, and then change headphone volume. And it died, sadly enough. And there isn't like a ton on the market that is the exact same product. And so this Neuro thing is exactly what I wanted to do. It was way too expensive for what it is. But to be honest, my audio setup is like pretty complex in here. And now I get several different audio input sources. I can choose to output through headphones. I can choose to turn my sub on or off. If I want to play a record on my record player, I just change the input source on the little switcher.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what this is, point of this was. That's cool.
Yeah, it's typically used in a studio environment. You can have several different outputs from different speaker sets to maybe hear a mix on multiple speaker sets, of which I don't have, by the way, just one monitor set. You can turn it to mono really quickly or flip the polarization, little things like that. Maybe like a little dim button to make it a little quiet really quick. There's some talk back features if I ever have a studio, which I won't. It's really pretty neat. I use M-Audio DX8. Studio monitors to listen to all of my mixes and all of my stuff, my audio. I like them. They're good. They're not like the highest end speakers, but they're powered and they're big and they sound nice.
I run almost the same setup, Heil PR40, which is not the mic you have. Sorry, that's the mic I have. I bought it in black and gold about a year, 2 years ago. And I recently switched my gray one that I had here with the gold one I had at the cottage. And man, I love the look of it. It's so cool with the gold on it. Although I did an Instagram poll and more people said they liked the gray one better. So interesting. Shock mount, boom arm, pop filter, all that good stuff. Scarlett 2i2. So the microphone goes into the DBX286S. That does all of the processing on a hardware level. Then it goes into Scarlett 2i2. That makes it into USB that I plug into my computer. And that's how you're listening to me right now. I do have a EQ351. It's not hooked up right now. I'm waiting for COVID to be over so I can get that thing dialed in by somebody who knows more about audio than I do.
We also both paid way too much for pop filters, but like, man, the pop filter world is like, oh, you either...
This pop filter is amazing.
So, it's amazing. I've never raved about a pop filter to anybody, but this pop filter, like, I'm embarrassed every time anybody asks how much it costs, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, one, it's the barrier between my voice and the microphone, which is literally all I do. So spending money on it, it's got to happen if you want the best results. What is it? It's like $60.
It's called the RE320 Pop. It's a custom one made by BSW, Broadcast Supply Worldwide. That's where I got all my gear, actually. And it's like a super low profile, tiny little pop filter, whereas every other pop filter is like a one of those like knitting hoops with pantyhose on it and this massive like bendy exactly black arm on it. And it just looks awful.
Takes up your entire view.
Yeah, man. I remember I bought it. It's $60 US. And then I had to pay to ship it to Canada. And I had to pay duty and import on it. It was like 120 Canadian. And I was like, this is like more than you spend on a decent microphone.
It's absurd to spend that on a pop filter. Yeah. And let me tell you, I would do it over and over and over again.
Totally. Yeah. It's funny. Like sometimes I cringe at how much this stuff costs. But then like I talk to my friends who are like in the trades and they spend way more money on like drills and batteries and hammers and all this stuff. Like they spend way more money on the gear than we do because this stuff lasts for forever. Well, not forever, but you should be able to have a lot of this stuff for 6, 7, 8 years and then still be able to sell it.
Our overhead's ultimately pretty low.
Yeah. Lighting. What do you use for lighting?
I use 3 studio lamps, 2 of which I don't think they make anymore. One of which is the same one that you use, which is the newer one. And these are all LED lamps. They are All three of them are just extremely bright, verging on way too bright. My room has giant windows on both sides of me. And everybody's like, wow, your room has such great lighting. It must be really great for you to record in here. No, it sucks because I have glasses. And when you have uncontrolled light with glasses, you just get reflection. So if I wanted to use my natural light, you would not even see my eyes ever. It would just be reflection. So I have to position my lights. I do a 3-point light setup. I do a backlight. I do a key and a fill. And then I use one of the, on the newer one, it allows you to do like a little bit orangey light or white light. And I use the orangier light on the side just to give me a little bit more multiple color. And if I want to add some more color to the mix, you know, I got a Philips Hue right above me. I can change or tweak the color, just, you know, add a little pop in there or something. But usually I don't. I usually keep it pretty just bright and then change the color in post if I want to do any of that, of which I do in DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah. Once you mentioned that 480 LED newer light, because I was just using like a Logitech webcam for the longest time. And then when I upgraded to this camera, I was like, this is so grainy. And it was because there was like not nearly enough. It was also like not enough light was getting into it that it was like jittery and like laggy. And then, so I got this like super bright light that you recommended and I bounced it off of the ceiling and it made my video look 100 times better. I couldn't believe it, honestly. And then I also have these backfill LED lights that have a remote on them that are different colors. And I've been playing with those. It's just like a little bit of backlighting. It makes it look pretty slick. I have the BenQ screen bar. Yeah. And it's like this like nice little monitor light that goes on the very top of your monitor and like lights up your keyboard and whatnot. And I had to take it off of my main monitor because I don't have enough room between my camera and the top of the monitor. Like this, it's like millimeters. Like if I pull my monitor forward like an inch, you can see the monitor in the shot. So I had to move it to my side monitor, but it's really slick because it's got this nice little desktop button. You hit the button, you can put it between cold and warm light, especially if you're working in the dark, which starts at 4 o'clock right now in Canada. You can just turn this thing on and it just gives a bit of a better vibe.
Yeah, I do pretty warm lights all around in the evening and throughout the whole house. So like something being able to give me a warm light like that is very nice for me. And one thing I didn't mention, I know we're running late on time here. I have just about everything rigged up to my desk. Like my desk, because it's a sit-stand desk, I basically have like one or two cables going up the leg of my desk. And then I have my rack, like I said, underneath my desk. I have my monitor arms on my desk, my microphone arm on my desk. And I even bought, man, there's a company who makes really good tripods. I bought basically a clamp from them, which is like a expensive clamp, and then a nice arm rig so that my webcam camera is hooked up to the back of it. And it's like a little tripod camera that I have. So I have like my entire setup hooked up to my desk with the exception of the studio lights. I thought about doing the studio lights on it. I was just like, you know what? That might be a little too absurd. So I'm going to leave it at this. But right now, everything's connected to the desk.
Yeah, that's really important if you have a sit stand. How often do you stand now that you have that new chair?
Frequently. I sit stand, alternate. So like I said, I have my four presets and I will alternate before those four presets, like over and over. I'll stand, I'll kneel, I'll do a lunge. I will stand in horse stance. I'll get some stretching in. I'll put my leg up on the desk. Like I am constantly moving. In fact, the only reason I'm not constantly moving right now as we record these episodes is because Adam, our audio editor, did not like how much I was bumping the table and microphone. So I've had to calm it down. Today's episode of Syntax is sponsored by Hasura. Now, I'm so glad that Hasura is sponsoring Syntax because this is a service I've used for a little bit myself, and especially for some fun projects when you just want to get up and running with a GraphQL API. But if you're not, it's not one of those prototyping services. This is the real deal where you can get up and running insanely fast with a GraphQL API and a Postgres database. And for the most part, you don't even have to think too much about the entire code of things. You don't need to handwrite your server endpoints or anything like that. Hasura is really, really pretty smart and really gives you the tools to build something very advanced very quickly. It even has a granular authorization baked in with complex rules down to the individual row and column level. And this thing is very, very configurable. With Hasura, users typically save more than half the time they would take to build a GraphQL server, according to Hasura. And that's like very, very evident when you start to use it, especially if you've hand-rolled your own GraphQL server in the past. There's also Hasura Cloud, which is a managed service, and it gives you things like auto-scaling, right? Nobody wants to deal with scaling. I don't want to deal with that. And if you sign up for the free tier, it only takes a moment, and you have an instant GraphQL and REST server. So head on over to hasura.info/free trial and use the coupon code TRYHASURA, TRYHASURA, and you're going to get 3 months of Hasura Cloud for free. And this is one of these offers you're going to have to act fast on. Only the first 100 listeners get this kind of crazy deal. So head on over to Hasura, hasura.info/free trial. Use the coupon code TRYHASURA, HASURA, and get 3 months of Hasura Cloud for free. Very, very cool. So thank you so much for Hasura for sponsoring.
All right, next up, we have storage backup home server. We have an entire show on NAS. NAS is network attached storage. Scott and I both run Synologies. Go and listen to that show because, like, yeah, you can back up your stuff to something, but it's unreal how much fun stuff you can run on a home server that has all this space in it.
It's very good. Yeah, go ahead and listen to that show. We both basically run the same, same setup. I think mine's like 8 terabytes or something.
Mine is 16 terabytes and I'm using like 1.5. Like I was looking at it the other day. I was like, this is probably too much space for me.
Oh, I'm probably using most of mine because I have a lot of duplicate files. Like when I got it, I did a lot of just like dumping everything possible because, you know, I've been doing videos for so long. I didn't want to lose any of my videos. I have like maybe like 3,000 tutorial videos.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to lose any of that. So it's like I end up getting duplicates of it all. I have to run a bunch of dedupe software and stuff to figure it out because I am approaching my limit. I'm like, okay, one, there's no way I have this many actual files, but you know, in the same regard, space is getting filled up.
I also run I was just talking on Twitter to Brad Frost about this morning for Time Machine. So I run backup. We have a whole show on running backups, but I just run these little LaCie rugged or Western Digital Passport, these little USB drives. And I use that for my Time Machine, just because Time Machine is great. It will, if you ever have to move computers or if you accidentally delete a file or if you need to roll something back, like I've probably 6 times in my career, I've had to move to a new laptop, either because I bought a new one or because mine was being repaired. And I was like, I just need to get up and running with everything, software licenses, everything, all my settings right now, because I need to get back to work. And having a Time Machine for that has been awesome. So just, I've tried the network Time Machine many times and it always screws up so much that I don't trust it anymore. So now I just run hard drives on all our computers in our house for Time Machine.
Word. Yeah, I should do that because, yeah, Time Machine any other way is like no go. Like Time Machine on the NAS, no.
Awful. It just like works for like 2 months and then it's like, can't figure it out. Have to wipe it. And then you're like, no, don't wipe it. Like, yeah. Like what happens if something happens?
It's like, we have to start over. And when you start over, it's going to take like 2 weeks to finish. And then, yeah, I know it's totally brutal. Here's a new device that's not quite on my desk just yet, but it has been ordered for my birthday is coming up. And one of the gifts that Courtney's going to be getting me, I know this because I lobbied for this gift. And this is a Remarkable 2 tablet. Have you ever heard of this thing? Because I hadn't until recently. And I am very into this thing, very into it. So it's an e-ink tablet. It's supposedly the thinnest tablet on the market, as in it's just paper thin. And it's supposed to feel exactly like paper because of the next to no latency and then the texture.
Yeah.
And the battery lasts for 2 weeks, meaning that anytime you want to have a piece of paper handy and jot some notes down, it's going to be charged. You're not going to have to worry about charging it. But it's e-ink too, so it does handwriting to text conversion so you can write notes. But I greatly miss having a notebook paper right here. And I'm definitely easily distractible. And so anytime I thought about, well, let's have like a code app or Notion to take notes or maybe even an iPad or something like that, if I want to do handwritten notes, none of that stuff works for me. I get off track so much. And because this thing's e-ink, you're not going to have to worry about a backlight goofing up your eyes. It's going to be easier to read long-term or just take notes or just pop it out.
Yeah.
Scribble down some notes really quickly, do some drawings, do some diagrams, work out some stuff. And I really miss that about having a notepad on my desk 24/7. I used to live by the notebook. So I'm really, really excited about this. And I'm very keen to see how well it works.
That looks really cool. I run a Moleskine. Usually for me, it's when I need to sketch out layouts for my websites. That's when I go for pen and paper. I used to do it for just ideas for courses, but now I've moved entirely over to MindNode, which is a mind mapping software. So I find myself using the Moleskine less and less these days, but like my wife she's a fiend for those types of things. She does, just loves Jot, and she's just carrying it around all day. It goes through one like in a month. She uses the dotted ones where it's just dots inside. They're pretty cool.
Yep. Hot to Jot right there.
I got the last little section here, which is just a wish list for things that I want to check out. One thing I'm really happy to start seeing is they're called 5K 2K, which is basically I've been wanting the curved display, but I'm not willing to give up the pixel density of the 4K display. And now they are finally, LG's rolling out a 5K 2K curved display, which is a 40-inch one. So it's like big enough that you can do it and you can still run a nice high pixel density on it. So expensive still though, but I can't wait to try those out because like I want the pixel density, but I also want the curved display. So just instead of having two, it's just one. I think I would really like that. I don't know because I haven't tried it, but that's what I'm holding out for.
I am a sucker for that Apple display and I want it, but I cannot justify it.
Yeah.
So I do not own one. I can't justify it. I would love one though. So if anybody wants to just send me one, I'll take it.
The 32-inch 6K?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, man, that looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
How much is it? Oh my gosh, $7,500 in Canadian. Yeah, no way. No way. No way, no way. Especially like I'm just writing code most of the day. Yeah. What else? I've been looking at the Stream Deck quite a bit, mostly because Better Touch Tool just rolled out support for the Stream Deck.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, how awesome would it be? Like, my lights that I have here, I have them on a Wyze plug, and then I can turn them on and off at 9 and 5 o'clock. But I was like, how sick would it be if I had a button that I could hit that is more than just keyboard shortcuts, but like actual buttons on the keyboard to do things like lighting and shortcuts and whatnot.
I have a question. Is that possible to do? Like, can you trigger smart home events with that? Because I looked into it like maybe, I want to say like a year ago, and it wasn't possible.
With the Stream Deck?
Yeah.
Well, the way I'm thinking about it is there's got to be an API for either Google Home, hopefully. I think... Or yeah,
just send a post message or something.
And the fact that it Better Touch Tool now supports it, you can do anything with Better Touch Tool because all you have to do is hook up a keyboard shortcut to that key, and then the sky's the limit. You could run shell scripts, or you can run JavaScript when you hit something, or Apple script, or anything you want at that point. And also, just my editing workflow. Like, would it be better to have physical buttons to do common things? Maybe.
I do. Like, I've done so much remapping. So for me, Hyper A normalizes all my audio. Hyper N creates a new playlist with the selected clip. I have open bracket trims, close bracket trims, C, just the C button cuts. Like, I use my keyboard like a maestro clicking around here.
Yeah, me too. I have like hundreds of keyboard shortcuts set up, or not 100, but like dozens of keyboard shortcuts set up. And then I also use Better Touch Tool to automate things. Like, one thing for me is putting in the bumpers. I had 70 videos and I had a 2-second bumper I needed to add to every single one. The thing was for that is you have to open the file, Command A, select it all, hit the keyboard shortcut twice to bump it over 2 seconds, hit the shift arrow to bring it to the front, and then paste in the bumper, save it, and close the thing. And I recorded that all into a Better Touch Tool like macro. And then I just have Hyper B. And it does the entire thing. And I was like, oh, how cool would it be to have a button to do that? You know, like, obviously keyboard shortcuts are cool, but even buttons, better. Man, dedicated button.
I know. I'm into that automation. So that, yeah, I got to look into that. Cool. Well, that was a long episode. Fantastic stuff. This are our desk setups. You can now be just like us on Instagram, take some photos, upload it, get 1,000 likes, get a bunch of new followers. That's how it works.
All right. We are going to skip the sick pics because this was kind of a entire sick pick episode, but we'll move into shameless plugs. I'm going to shamelessly plug my Advanced React course at advancedreact.com. Totally updated, all totally re-recorded, available with the latest in React hooks and Apollo 3 and Keystone JS, which is a new GraphQL CMS, all kinds of awesome stuff. So check it out, advancedreact.com. Use the coupon code SYNTAX for $10 off.
Sick. I'm going to shamelessly plug my latest course, which is called Testing with Cypress. And it teaches you the ins and outs of getting comfortable with Cypress. We use it both in local. We also use it headless mode. We also use it via GitHub Actions in the continuous integration. So I know that's a huge pain point, but we show you how to get Cypress running and passing all of your tests with GitHub Actions, mocking and intercepting and ENV variables and all of that fun stuff. So leveluptutorials.com/pro. Sign up today and save 25%.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you on Monday. Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.